Hello and welcome to this episode 74 of Brashcast. I'm Elian Pritchard and as always Ross Alexander.
Hello from Sweden.
Hello. From Sweden, from sunny Sweden, is that right? Is
it sunny? Surprisingly sunny often, yes.
Is it really?
Yeah,
but then, of course, you get like 6 months of just complete darkness, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, yeah. There will be days where, well, there's days, midsummer's coming up. There will be days where it gets dark for maybe 4 or 5 hours. So it's never really that far away from daylight.
The thing is, you say that, I mean, it's not actually that much different in Scotland. Because no. I actually found that a bit of a shock moving up, because I moved up in the... So I can't believe we're already doing this. We're making... Like, just before this podcast started, we're like, all right, we can't ramble on because we've got loads to talk about. And immediately we're talking about Swedish and Scottish weather.
Yes.
But when I first moved up, like, that hour and a half makes a difference. And I recently went on holiday, and coming back to, like, the Scottish days, all of a sudden I'm thrown in the week because it's, like, 11:30 and it's still a little bit light.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, I get up early for work, I'm going to bed at, like, 10:30, and it's still goddamn light.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure, like, I could probably deal with moving to Sweden. As long as it's not, like, Iceland shit, where it's literally light for 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit mental.
Yeah, it's not quite that bad. But yes,
yeah.
Hopefully my superlative audio quality will shine through. I am using one of Avalanche's very nice recording studios. So I have a professional setup, so hopefully it'll sound good.
Oh yeah, and just to be clear, Ross hasn't broken into Avalanche Studios in Stockholm. He actually works there now.
Yeah.
I sadly am sitting at a table in my house, so it's not nearly as exciting, but I am sitting next to a cat. Everyone loves cats, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not as exciting as you know, doing a podcast from Avalanche, but still, you know, it's a pretty cool cat, I suppose. All right, before we get to the E3 stuff, some people listening to this are probably quite aware that there was a big hullabaloo a few months ago with Brash Games. And that is one of the reasons, beyond the fact that obviously you've moved to Sweden, that we haven't been recording Brash Games because obviously, you know, we weren't sure what was going on with the site.
Yes.
We're not going to go into the details now because despite what people believe, we have basically nothing to do with this. I mean, for a start, Ross only does the podcast for the website, that's it.
Yeah.
And even though I've written literally thousands of reviews and articles for the website, it's not someone I'm employed by. I don't get paid. Literally, I get sent a review list by Paul. I update it on the website, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, like I said, I don't get paid. I know some people have made a big issue of that. It was never an issue to me. But again, the point is, if anyone is actually interested in hearing what's happened or our opinion on it, please get in touch via our Facebook page, brashcast.facebook.page. Okay, we're Brashcast on Facebook anyway.
Yes.
And we'll happily answer any questions you have to the best of our ability in future episodes. But we're not going to go into that. We're not going to bore people who have no knowledge of what we're going on about. And more importantly, literally, we're talking about E3.
Yes.
I mean, we've just watched the majority of the Nintendo treehouse thing. It's still actually going as we record this, but we kind of had to get going, and they're all sitting there in silly hats. And I was like, "Fuck! There's only so much I can take of this." But
yeah, I mean, I'm sat in here with the lights off, hoping that no one from Avalanche notices I'm in here and chucks me out. You know?
So you're doing this on the sneak.
We absolutely need to. Yeah, I was fired a month ago.
Oh really? Like, and you only started work like a month and 3 days ago? So
yeah,
was, like,
it did not take
fired.
It did not take long for them to figure me out.
But like a bad smell, you just refuse to leave. It's just like, I'm sticking around.
Yes.
Fuck you guys, I'm going to do my podcast. Well,
yes.
You know, I love the commitment. I hope listeners appreciate the commitment you've shown to stick around the office for a whole month for superior audio quality. All right, let's get straight down to it. First and foremost, I got to be honest, unless like the last 20 minutes of the Nintendo conference comes up with something amazing, I've been a little bit underwhelmed by E3 this year. I was super excited going into it. But I've come away a little bit, it's been solid,
yeah.
But I just don't feel like it's had those big wow moments that I've had in previous years. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. There have definitely been some standout moments for me. But,
oh, totally.
Everything that I'm really excited about is pretty far away, I would say.
Well, I think the problem was that I kind of hyped myself up for, in particular, the Xbox conference because of the Xbox One X, as we all know it's now called.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convinced that because, obviously, there hadn't been many first-party game announcements over the past year. It's been pretty quiet on the Xbox, if truth be told.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, they're saving all their best stuff. There's going to be, you know, at least one or two huge announcements. And I just don't think that materialized. Like, the console itself sounds fantastic. It looks amazing. Like, I don't know how it can be that small and that powerful. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like a tech guy, but that is mind-boggling. Even the price.
Hopefully, they're not just going to turn into little mini microwaves again, like the original 360.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all sounded positive. The console looked lovely. A very simple console, but I liked the design.
Mm-hmm.
But then the games didn't quite happen. I really thought there was going to be, you know, one or two huge, genuinely shocking announcements. But while it was all very solid, there was a huge number of exclusives, and I liked everything I saw. None of them blew me away, and if anything, it almost not quite talked me out. Like, put it this way, going in, I was like, I'm getting the Xbox One X, like, beforehand. I was like, I'm just gonna get it, I'm gonna get a 4K TV, I'm gonna make that jump. And I was just like, all I needed was that last little push for them to say, all right, this game's coming out. And I'll be like, holy shit, that looks amazing, I have to get it. And because it didn't happen, I'm suddenly thinking, do I actually need the Xbox One X? You know, in the same way that I was like, I don't feel like I need a PS4 Pro. I'm just not sure if I've been convinced by the lineup.
I mean, it's genuinely surprising me that you're even entertaining the notion of buying one, considering, like, just how strongly you felt about the whole concept of, like, model point one, you know?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I was, and I still stick with that, and certainly in regards to the PS4 Pro, but beforehand, I kind of got sick in my head that this was going to be a big jump. Maybe I kind of got caught up with the hyperbole, I suppose. But I was like, all right, I kind of want to get... Basically, it kind of came in hand with the idea that I wanted to get a new TV. I want to get a new 4K TV with all the trimmings and stuff. And I was like, oh, well, I could get the Xbox with it. And it has, you know, 4K playback and all that jazz. And I was like, well, if they can show me that one game where it's like, all right, this can't be done on an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it can be because all the games will be cross-platform, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But one which looks notably better. I was kind of waiting for that. But and I know, I'm sure, like, Forza 7 looks better on it, but it's still just a Forza game. Like, they look lovely, I'll buy it, I'll get bored of it after a month and I'll get rid of it. It's what happens with every single fucking Forza game. The mainline games, anyway. I love the Horizon games. But, yeah, I'm not so sure now. The only game which really blew me away was Anthem.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, shall we, for the sake of keeping everything kind of on the rails, as it were, because we are bad for going off the rails.
We certainly are. Shall we?
Shall we go through it press conference by press conference, and that'll keep us kind of contained.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the plan. It's like we'll open with Microsoft.
Well, EA was first.
Oh, so we are literally. You want to go in order?
Yeah. I figured that was the safe bet.
Yeah, it would be, but we've already kind of started talking about Microsoft. So we'll run with Microsoft.
Okay.
We'll complete Microsoft, and then after that, we'll go in order, but we'll skip Microsoft. So we're not doing them twice. That makes sense, right?
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It makes sense in my mind anyway. But yeah, as I said, the console looks lovely. I even, like, you know, we all kind of knew the price was going to be expensive because of the tech involved.
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of the Xbox backward compatibility with the original Xbox.
So that was something that I wanted to get your feelings on because...
Yeah.
I cannot think of a single game that I am like, oh, I need to play that because...
It's all Sega stuff with me. It's like Gun Valkyrie, Jet Set Radio Future, Shenmue 2.
Wasn't Jet Set Radio... like remade quite recently, and it was quite a good remake.
No, I would have totally been banging on about that for ages if there was a Jet Set Radio remake.
Oh,
right. No, you're thinking of Jet Set Radio HD.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that, but that's the Dreamcast game. And right, don't get me wrong, that's a good game, but I actually prefer Jet Set Radio Future was much more a much more open game. They'd removed the clock. It looked that bit better again. I think it's aged a lot better than the original Jet Set Radio. And basically, there's been no way to play Jet Set Radio Future other than on the original Xbox. You could play it on the 360 as well if you had the disc, which I did. But I do like the idea of being able to play that game and a few others. But I know what you mean. It's like a cool announcement, but how many of those games am I going to play? Like, not many.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. As I said, there's two or three games which would be pretty cool, but like, it's one of those like nice little additions, I suppose.
The thing is, when you consider the amount of man hours that they have put into making that a possibility, like they must have spent at least $1 million getting that to happen.
Is it worth it?
I cannot fathom why they would do that. And the crowd went fucking crazy as
They always do for nostalgia stuff. I mean, what will make a massive difference is, I mean, they've already talked about the fact that the games will look better, the original Xbox games. Mm-hmm. If they can incorporate achievements into the original Xbox games, that'll make all the difference.
Oh, yeah,
that will make all the fucking difference. If suddenly, if like, not only could I play, say, Jet Set Radio Future, but they added, it looked nicer, it runs smoother, and they said, oh, there's like 1,000 gamer score. Like, that would be such a great excuse to go back and play these games. Mm. Like, I'm not a, like an achievement hunter, but it would just be that little incentive to go back and play it.
It's just enough of a difference. I don't...
Yeah, people would go back and like play Halo 2. Imagine if you said Halo 2 was like, all right, we're bringing Halo 2 back, complete with the multiplayer, which people still love, and you've got achievements.
I mean,
people would absolutely play it.
I don't think it would be possible unless it was digital downloads, because
you
would need to actually change the code to do it.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, even with the disc, isn't it just emulation? Like, it's loading it up, but the code's still coming from an emulated version on the Xbox.
Mm.
So I'm not sure if it actually runs from the disc anyway, in the traditional sense.
Possibly.
So with the Xbox in particular, I don't think it's going to be off the disc. I'd be very surprised, because how many people have actually got the discs? People still add 360 games, but most people don't have original Xbox games. So I think it's going to be purely digital downloads.
It's a good chance to dust off that massive Steel Battalion setup.
Yeah, and the Duke. Supposedly there's, I'm not sure which company it is, but somebody's re-releasing the Duke already, so... Yeah, I'm sure that'll go down. I actually quite like the dude, because, like, you know, I'm 6'6", I have big giant hands, so yeah, I had no problem with it whatsoever. But yeah, that was fine. In terms of, like, as I said, the killer app wasn't there. It was like a solid 7 out of 10. It was like a Gary Neville. You know, that's what it was. You know, reliable, did the job, not the prettiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest games...
I have so missed your football analogies.
Yeah, you totally have. I know, they're just the best, aren't they? Like, the biggest games, I thought, like, Crackdown, man. I was so ready to be excited by that. And then, right, it was Terry Crews. Everyone was Terry Crews. And then I saw the gameplay. I'm just like, well, this just looks like, you know, this just looks like Crackdown.
Yeah, it looked like it hadn't come far since the last time we saw it.
I thought it went backwards. Like, the last one, they were showing you, like, buildings falling down and all kinds of stuff. This one was just like, oh, remember Crackdown, where you could kind of blow up stuff with your friends? It's just like, don't get me wrong, that's cool. Like, I'd happily play it and just collect orbs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought... You know, I was expecting it to have this huge impact and go, oh, look at the technology. You know, this is what the Xbox One X can do. And, you know, you'd have half the city falling down.
Yeah.
And it just didn't have any of that at all. So that kind of fell a bit flat for me.
We'll see how it goes. I have quite a few friends working on Crackdown 3. So I really hope it does well. Me too. It's very high profile, especially considering Microsoft could kind of do with some desirable exclusives.
Oh, yeah, and that's launching with the Xbox One X. So that's going to become, like, the poster child for the console in many respects. You know, that and Forza.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not everybody loves racing games. So for a lot of people, that's going to be the reason to or to not buy it, essentially.
Yeah.
And I just didn't think they showed any, you know, it just looked like Crackdown before. It had that cool cel-shaded design, but nothing there where it made you go, like, oh, wow, this is going to be so much better on the Xbox One X. And that was a problem with a lot of this. I mean... I thought Sea of Thieves looked great.
Yes, it does.
It looks amazing, but I'm still worried about the fact that, all right, what happens if I can't play it with friends?
Yeah, that is the big deal with that one. Without having a crew, in the very literal sense, I don't know, is the AI
Will the game just fall to pieces?
Good?
Or even if you jump in, because, you know, like Destiny, for instance, because my friends, you know, other than you, my friends... don't play video games, other than, you know, like, they might play FIFA or something. But I, you know, I couldn't get, like, a fire team together for Destiny, so I could never play, you know, the raids, for instance. But it was fine, because I'd jump in online with just randoms and play the levels, and it didn't really matter, because you just had to shoot things, which was fine. And it's like, can I still have that experience with Sea of Thieves? So even if I am playing, say, online, but I'm not communicating with people, will it still work, even?
Yeah.
You know, will it be kind of... signposted enough that you all know what you're doing. But
to be honest, it's when it comes to that kind of multiplayer, especially kind of really heavy cooperative stuff like that trailer suggested, it's not even a case of communication. It's will your colleagues, like, play properly? Will they play the objective, or will they go all out for themselves? And
well, that's the thing. It will be interesting. I mean, you know, I guess if you've got a common goal, it makes sense, maybe. But yeah, I just, I don't know. I want that to be a game that I can enjoy, but at the moment I still have my doubts. But in terms of, like, I'm sure under the perfect circumstances, that game's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But then I'm sure Evolve, if I had five friends all playing it under the perfect circumstances, I'm sure it would have been amazing.
I don't know. But I don't know. Like,
I heard a lot of people, no, because, like, you know, that kind of game's fallen a bit flat, but people forget there's a huge amount of buzz for that when it was originally released, because obviously when people were playing it at, like, trade shows and stuff,
yeah,
they were playing it with other people sitting next to them, everyone's talking, and I think, you know, it came across, like, everyone, I think it even won Game of Show at one of the major awards, but then, of course, you've got, for Evolve to really work, you've got to have the perfect surroundings, and just how many people can replicate that.
It's the whole concept of a mismatched 4-on-1 cooperative but still somehow adversarial multiplayer game. It's a really cool mm-hmm. concept.
But I think it needs to be perfect.
And it, to be honest, Sea of Thieves has so much more going for it in terms of...
Oh, totally. I was just using that as... that is very much the extreme example. Yeah. But, yeah, like, there's a lot more going for Sea of Thieves. It looks a lot more varied. I just hope that it doesn't fall apart to a certain extent when you haven't got a kind of a party with you, as it were.
I get that. But I think
it looks lovely.
I think that Rare have done a good job of making a world that I would want to explore, even if I had to do it solo. That trailer was so full of charm in such rare way. Like,
yeah, it was so British,
really,
wasn't it?
Yeah, like having a Scottish narrator talking,
like
joking as he goes through it, and like even breaking the fourth wall. It was I laughed my ass off at it, actually.
Yeah, it's just, I thought it was just very charming, and again, it's you know, finding that balance, because some of those games, especially British games, sometimes I think can go too far.
Yeah,
with that,
they're a bit twee.
Yeah, and it can, then I start kind of rolling my eyes, but I thought that found a nice balance. And if anything, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to that game beforehand, but now I'm like, oh man, I really hope that has the kind of options where I can enjoy it, because I want to play that game.
Yeah.
I really do.
No, I agree.
But that was probably one of the high points. As I said, I mean, we mentioned it briefly. I mean, for me, a lot of the high points were the third-party stuff. And it'll be interesting, because obviously we saw, to bring it back to Anthem, because so far that's my kind of game of E3. That was the closest I've had to a WoW moment, without question.
I would say that's probably my pick as well.
Yeah. I'm glad because I remember, like, visually, I was like, holy shit, this looks amazing.
Stunning.
And I know people will, you know, and I'm surprised... I get it. It's a little bit derivative. It looks a little bit like Destiny. It looks a little bit like Iron Man. But if you're willing to put all those things together and create something that looks that pretty, mm-hmm. and you know the fact that they just jumped off the edge of a cliff and started flying and it was all seamless,
completely seamless.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Yeah. I've seen bits of this before, but I've never seen it put together as well. In fairness, I know it's a trailer, so I'm not getting carried away.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything look that good and that slick in that regard. I was just like, all right. I see that. That looks like the kind of game I want to play. I want to fly around in the world. I want to shoot bad guys. And I want to collect loot. And above all else, it looked absolutely stunning. And that's the one where I'm like, all right, I want to see that side by side, Xbox One X against an Xbox One standard.
Yeah.
It's like, is there a jump there? Because I see that game, and I'm like, surely it's not going to run like that on an Xbox One standard.
Yeah, I think for a start, you're never going to get that frame rate. No. But
then will it ever look like that? Like, that's always my concern with these demos. It's like, oh, they look amazing. You know, there's numerous examples over the past few years of these phenomenal gameplay trailers, you know, the vertical slices, they say.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, you get the same game. You're like, wait, why aren't you as pretty as at the E3? What the fuck happened? So yeah. I'm still a little bit skeptical, but my God, that game looked fucking sweet.
Yeah, I'm like, the mechanics look interesting.
And it's BioWare.
It's BioWare, so you know there will be a story. Whether it's another Dragon Age Inquisition or not, time will tell.
Well, it's definitely gone the more kind of Mass Effect, you know, latter Mass Effects, where it's obviously more combat heavy.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to have nearly as much narrative as you say, as a kind of Dragon Age or even, you know, Mass Effect for that matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are renowned for their solid narratives. So, I mean, if you could... Because, you know, you think... I mean, one of the most... one of my favourite games of the generation actually ended up being Destiny. I got really hooked on that.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the narrative was a bit shit.
Yeah.
So if you could take a game like that and not only make it prettier, but you add flying and a solid narrative, I'm just like, yeah, it looks like things I've seen before, but my God, it looks like... If everything comes together, then I'm absolutely on board
there. Yeah, no, I would agree.
Yeah. Quick rundown of the other ones. We won't go into all the details. I've got best of the third-party stuff. I thought Assassin's Creed Origins looked interesting. A little bit of Zelda going on there, but it still had worryingly all those little signposts on the map. You know, it was just one bit when he's walking, and you know, at the top you have like a compass.
Yeah.
And it was just full of question marks and dots, and I was like, oh, I was kind of hoping they'd moved away from that.
Yeah, I had my AC stuff down in the Ubisoft one, so we can touch on that a bit.
Okay,
later.
We'll get that there. Metro Exodus, I've not really got into the Metro games, but I looked amazing.
Yeah, like, I knew exactly what it was as soon as I saw
a
Russian in a tunnel. But
as soon as it was in a tunnel, I'm like, well, this is definitely Metro.
Yeah,
it's a bit bleak, and it's in a tunnel.
Yeah,
it's Metro.
I mean, it looks cool, but, I mean, the very first game of that type I played was Stalker: Shadow of Chernobyl.
Oh yeah.
And considering,
obviously never played it, PC.
Yeah, I mean, it's bleak and it's miserable,
but
not in a fun way. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but there are some games where it's just kind of fun, like especially Resident Evil and Dark Souls, where where it is fun to be in this horrible, horrible place.
Well, it's funny you say that, because when that trailer was coming up, I asked myself the question. I was like, this looks great. I was like, why haven't I played the Metro games? Like, I've played both of them, like, in really brief spurts. I played, like, the first hour of both.
Okay.
And I never went out of my way to pick up the game and play the rest. And I was like, why didn't I? Because it looks pretty, it's first person, it's all stuff I like. And it was just, I think it was a similar thing. I was just like, oh, this is a little bit bleak and depressing.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
play Splatoon
games
instead.
They're solid games, and the people who like them really like them. Solid shooter mechanics, but it is. It's just I want some escapism with my games.
I don't
want to think about the post Trump future where we all have to live in caverns beset by monsters.
Or post Putin future, I suppose. Whichever one it is, it's not very nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there's post apocalyptic games, but there's something especially oppressive and depressing about the world of Metro.
Very Soviet influence.
Yeah, I think it is. In fairness, the stuff outside did look a lot prettier. But, you know, whatever you say about the gameplay, it looked very pretty. I was surprisingly, and I don't know why, because I loved Shadow of Mordor. But I couldn't get excited about Shadow of War.
I know exactly what you mean. My issue with it was largely that demo did not show anything new or interesting.
No, and it didn't look as pretty as I thought it was going to look, considering they were making the big fuss about it being on Xbox One X.
Yeah, well, I mean, so being who I am and the kind of games I like to play, the first thing I noticed was that the narrative, like the dialogue, was all over the place.
It was strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, so this is an
like
orc.
The Aussie fucking orc.
Yeah.
With all his jokes and stuff.
So
it's
like,
strange.
Okay, so clearly this orc is meant to be a bit more intelligent. Fair enough. If he needs to join your army, like, you want characters that you can relate to and maybe sympathize with when they die or become injured. But this was nothing like any other orc in any other game I have ever experienced. He was articulate and funny and like cunning in a very human
way.
Very
witty. Yeah, it was quite odd, and I thought that was strange. And then I don't know, like, all the stuff about building an army, I don't know why, it just didn't grab me. But I'm gonna say this, I wasn't all that excited about Shadow of War. Like, I remember the Nemesis system and being like, oh god, that looks like a bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Until I actually played it. And in fairness, I absolutely adored that game.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping the same thing happens here, where I'm like, I'm not sure if this is all going to work, and then I'll play it and suddenly it all clicks.
Mechanics have to save it. That's what that game needs. Like,
honest. Well, the last game was all mechanics.
It was.
Like, the story in the last game wasn't up to much. The world wasn't that interesting, but the mechanics were amazing.
Yeah. Agreed.
Which is hard to demo on screen. So, yeah, we'll give it the benefit of the doubt. But
we're not going
to
have a Rocksteady Batman for a while, if ever again. So,
So it might just be this.
Pardon?
That's fine. So we'll just get to put with this. But
yeah,
as I said, if it's, you know, as good or better than the last one, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
All right, trying to move on. I've got two down as pleasant surprises. The Last Knight came out of nowhere, and I really liked the look of that, brief as it was.
This was
Blade Runner crossed with flashback thing going on.
This was around the point where we started talking to each other, I think.
Yeah.
While we were watching
it. And we both agreed on that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, that looks fucking cool.
The art style is gorgeous. It actually came up in one of the chats at work, was that the guy who's actually leading the project may have been pro Gamergate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's addressed it and has apologized for it.
Okay.
And even the publisher has I think they're something Rage. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, but they have basically released a press release saying, yeah, he may have said some kind of circumspect stuff
yeah,
before.
Yeah, I did read about this, yeah.
But we have total faith in him. That is not the guy that we know.
Yeah, well, I mean that doesn't sound great, but I mean, where possible, I do try and remove the creators from what they've created because, you know, there's so much music I want us to do because they're all douchebags. Same with, like, movie stars and stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, it doesn't sound great, but if they're saying, like, this isn't the guy he is, I'm willing to believe it and kind of just see what the game's like, you know, and just treat it and just have the game, you know? But yeah, that looked great. Other than that, a lot of the stuff looked fine, but, like, if you want to talk about these, I've just got down State of Decay 2, yes. Player Unknown, Minecraft, which looked very nice, but I'm not a Minecraft guy. The Darwin Project looked interesting on paper, but then everyone was running around very quickly, so I wasn't sure about that.
So my note for the Darwin Project is that it's gorgeous. Like, the art style is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of... it has a kind of Team Fortress 2 look to it, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously upscaled for kind of modern games, but I think there's just too many similar games out there.
It's not a million miles and Player Unknown, a very different art style and stuff, but aren't they both basically, you know, one player left at the end? I mean, unless I'm missing something.
Player Unknown at the moment has kind of come out. There's a few guys in the office who say it's the best first person shooter they've played in a long time.
Is that the one where, is Player Unknown the one where there's like 100 people and you have to fight until there's one left?
I'm not entirely sure.
I just read about it before, unless I'm mixing it up with something else. I thought it was a kind of battle royale thing where you all have to kill each other until there's one left.
Either way, it
had that very PC look where it looked, you know, a little rough around the edges, but, you know, I'm hearing a bit of a buzz about it. But the only other one I had down was Cuphead. But again, I don't want to see that again. I just want to play it. It looks amazing, sure, but it's been going out. It's, you know, they've been banging on that for fucking years now.
That's the kind of game I'd be happy to watch someone else play. 2D platformers have never really been my thing. You know, ever since I had a computer that didn't just have 2D platformers.
Oh, okay. I'm a big fan. So yeah, that looks like, between the fact that it's like a 2D platformer / 2D shooter, I'm like, and with the art style, absolutely on board.
Yeah.
Although it looks oddly creepy, but that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the Microsoft conference. I would give it a solid 7 out of 10. You know, lots of decent-looking games, but nothing that really blew my socks off.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next is EA. Well, not next, before, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, in my notes, I have said, allocate 10 minutes for Liam's traditional Pro Evo is better than FIFA soapbox.
All right, well, I'm not going to go too far into that, but I will say I still don't give two fucks about FIFA. Okay. They've got all the trimmings, but do you know what? I tried FIFA again recently. God, I'm doing it. I'm actually doing it. I played FIFA 17 again recently.
FIFA 17.
17.
It's all black and white.
I played the most recent one again, and I was just like, this game is garbage compared to Pro Evo. Like, it's got all the trimmings, and I expect the same with the next one, but I still think FIFA has a huge amount of catching up to do on the pitch.
Right.
And I haven't heard or seen enough which suggests that that's going to be the case. So, not at all excited about FIFA. Battlefront 2.
Yes.
I mean, that, you know, again, it's not that exciting because, you know, it was exciting first time because it's more of the same in many respects. And I was surprised that they put...
I think they're adding a lot to it.
Oh, they are. And don't get me wrong, everything looks amazing. The multiplayer looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But I really thought they were going to go heavier with the single player stuff because that's what I really wanted to see.
Well, I think they don't want to give too much away because obviously the mechanics are probably going to be very similar in single player and multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So they can show how the game will play pretty well through just showing multiplayer. It was very, very cool.
It looked amazing. Like, and that was...
I don't know why they decided to lead with episode 1 content, but then Theed looked incredible.
Theed looks incredible. And I think you know, for us, it's different because we grew up, even though it was before our time, we still grew up with the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people now, you know, turning 20, 21, their kind of core audience, they grew up with the prequels.
Yeah.
And whatever we might say about it, it was like, you know, the same way we feel maybe about the Ewoks, where if I'd seen those when I was growing up, I would have been like, oh, they were shit. But I liked the Ewoks when I was younger. So even though they're not great films, they're the films that a lot of these kids grew up with. So I think there's a nostalgia linked to the prequels that maybe we don't have, you know, but which is coming into play now with people with, you know, newly disposable income.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it. And plus, as you say, Theed did look amazing. It did. And more importantly, it looks unlike anything you would have seen in Battlefront 1. And I think that's the reason they picked it.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And it gives me hope for the map packs that are going to come with the next game. There was a kind of... I don't want to say it was like a template, but it did seem a little bit repetitive, even though the maps were stunningly beautiful. And
The last game?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And you got a range...
I got bored of them surprisingly quick.
You got a range of different, like, weapons and pickups and heroes and vehicles that you could use. But the actual layouts of the levels all felt quite similar.
I found that with the game. I played it a lot when it first came out. And then when the DLC came round, because I bought one of the rare cases of when I bought the special edition with all the season goodness.
Christ, that must have cost you a fortune.
I actually got it really cheap online, bizarrely, when it first came out. I actually bought the game, took it back because I was able to get it for the same price on like the Portuguese Xbox store.
I got it for
£38 with everything. And so I got all the DLC, and I seem to go through the same experience with everyone. I turn it on and go, wow, this looks amazing. And then I get bored of it surprisingly quickly. And that goes right through to like the Death Star stuff, which was surprising because, again, I was really excited about that. But I think it needs a bit of a change. I think the gunplay needs to be a bit tighter, which they've suggested it is.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that the weapons fire a lot faster now as standard.
Yeah, yeah. And it looked a lot better in first person, I thought. But I'm super excited about the single player. And again, I don't want to take for granted just how pretty that game is. Because obviously we're used to, like, the last game looked amazing.
Yeah.
But this really does look like Star Wars kind of, you know, come to life.
Yeah, it's actually, it's made me want to invest in a pair of binoculars. Because the DICE office, if I look out the window at my work, like, I'm looking right into DICE's office. So
awesome. I do love DICE. DICE do have a record of making fantastic games, although I'd be quite happy if they went back to races for a little while, but I don't think that's happening. But speaking of races, actually, I know everyone wasn't so fussed, but like, I really like the Need for Speed games. I love the handling model in those games.
Yeah.
And I actually quite like the look of Payback. It's the exact kind of racer that I enjoy. It's like 4-7 looks amazing. GT Sport looks great. I'm not going to enjoy those games in the long run. Whereas like Need for Speed Payback, which, you know, immediately had hints of Burnout when you were kind of knocking through other cars.
Yeah, that's what's selling it to me, is that kind of Burnout lineage.
The story will be shit. The story's always shit.
It will be, yeah.
Yeah, but I have no doubt that the gameplay will be amazing. And even the last Need for Speed, which had all that live action stuff, the story was dopey as fuck, but that game was great and it looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a shame there weren't day sections, but that is one of the best looking games of the generation still, and I just feel like it went under a lot of people's radar because of the shit live action stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm surprisingly excited about that.
Yeah.
But,
can we just take a second to address the guy at the press conference who they had announcing it? The guy who forgot the name of the game.
The fucking douchebag. As soon as he came on, because I was watching it and my wife was watching something else, I was watching it on my laptop, and I went out of my way before he even started talking. I was like, look at this fucking ass clown with like a denim jacket and a pink t-shirt.
Double denim, said, backwards baseball cap.
I'm Steve, and I'm a YouTube creator. And I was like, oh, you fucking asshole.
I was like,
the worst.
Bud, look at you. You do not need to tell us that you're a YouTube creator.
Yeah, yeah. It just couldn't have been any more obvious. And then the fucking just can't talk. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, you suck the worst.
And then the developer had to come. I get the feeling that someone like
sent him out and said, save him.
Dude, just go out there and talk about your game, okay?
You can imagine the conversation because it's so quick. It's like they just looked at him and just said, do something. And he's just got to go out there and just fuck. Like, there's no time for them to have a conversation. Like, it would just be like, just do something. Yeah. Just do anything. Oh, my
punch
God.
Punch him if you have to.
That guy was the worst. Yeah. That guy was the worst.
I did feel sorry for him because clearly this guy goes from basically doing what I'm doing just now, just talking in a room to a microphone.
Yeah, but you're not sitting there with your fucking denim and your pink t-shirt.
Oh, I am now. That's the new me. Did I not
really
tell you?
Is
about that
the new Swedish Ross?
Yeah.
Dude, I would have a fucking heart attack if I came to Sweden and you were in a denim jacket with a pink t-shirt and skinny jeans. I would fucking lose my mind.
To be honest, I would probably lose my testicles if I wore skinny jeans. That would
might be that. You'd certainly take up your voice, you know, an octave or two. But yeah. But yeah, the EA thing, it was fine. It was the usual EA stuff. They don't quite look human. He was a douchebag. Although I think a lot of people have come away quite excited by A Way Out. From the team who brought us A Tale of Two Brothers. Was it Tale of Two Brothers, or was it just called Brothers?
No, I think it was maybe it was. I don't know. A Tale of Two Sons. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, there we go. So I've just combined it or shortened it. I don't know. But yeah, it's that team. But yeah, again, you're going to need a friend to play through it, but I think that looked pretty cool.
Well, I mean, it's couch co-op, which is pretty rare these days, and they really emphasize, like, no, you need to be, this is couch co-op. To be honest,
you need
though,
to be, or if it's online, you need to be talking to someone. You can't just blag it.
It had a real look of like David Cage, like Quantic Dreams games. It looked very heavy rain to me, and that just put that put me right off it.
Well, hopefully the dialogue will be better than in his games, or it'll be a little less on the nose. But we'll get to him later anyway. But EA, I thought it was decent. I give it another, like, and I think this could be a running theme, like a solid 7. I thought they did the usual sports. Battlefront kind of saved it. A Way Out was interesting, and I like the look of Need for Speed Payback. But 7-ish.
I don't know. I would say it's closer to a 5, and almost all of that is Battlefront. Anthem,
we'll call it a 6 then.
Anthem,
well,
that's
how this works, right?
It was a very weird arrangement. I don't know what Microsoft did to warrant it, but they were like, yeah, and we've got this new IP from BioWare, you know, the one that you're all really excited about, but we're not going to tell you anything about it.
Show anything. Like, if you add Anthem to that conference, that takes up at least a mark or two.
I think
that was all the Microsoft one. So yeah, so we're going to go with 6 for EA. What was next on the timeline? Was the next one...
It was Bethesda, which we can skate past pretty quickly because I know that you don't care. And
I don't care about a lot of it. I mean, the only game I really care about... I mean, right, let's go. Skyrim for Switch, couldn't give two shits. A Tunic isn't going to make me enjoy that game. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
That's not going to work. But, you know, it'll be super popular, I have no doubt.
I do like the thought of being able to play it on the move.
That's the big draw, isn't it? Because it's not going to be it's going to be the old school version, but hopefully maybe, you know, a bit more polished, because fuck, that game could do with some fucking polish.
That will not happen.
Dishonored, yeah, probably not.
I can tell you straight away, it's not happening.
Well, it's been out for like fucking 6 years. At this point, if it's not at least half polished, then something's wrong. But that's Bethesda for you. What are you going to do? Dishonored 2 DLC, again, I like the idea of the Dishonored games, but I never get that passionate about them, so no big deal. Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus, I know everybody's lost their shit about that, but I wasn't
really looking forward to that.
I wasn't as mad about Wolfenstein as other people. I like it. I thought it was like a perfectly decent, here we go again, 7 out of 10. And I expect this might be much the same. But the trailer was cool. I'll play it for sure, but I don't think I'm as excited about it as you are, obviously.
Well, I mean, I think you might have been spoiled by Doom.
Maybe. I fucking love
it. When you consider how good the shooting mechanics are in... Did you play the last Wolfenstein that came out?
I played like two-thirds of it, and I just got totally bored.
Oh, right, okay.
I enjoyed it for a long time, but then I got to... There were certain points in the game I was playing it on hard, and I was just like, this is just like infuriating. And I thought it felt old-fashioned, a little bit cheap in parts. It was basically everything that, you know, Doom wasn't. Basically, Wolfenstein was like a cool throwback, whereas Doom took an old idea and completely made it something new.
Yeah.
Put this way, like, I wouldn't put the last Wolfenstein game, The New Order, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
I would not put it in the fucking same breath as Doom, as the most recent Doom.
Right.
I think it's a perfectly decent game, but Doom completely rewrote that game. And that was coming from someone, as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, who isn't all that mad on the original Doom.
Yeah, no, I'm the same.
Absolutely fucking knocked out of the park. But Wolfenstein 2, I'm sure it'll be fun.
I think it'll be where Doom had balls to the wall action and no story, really. Mm-hmm. This one will have really good action, but with a bit of story for context.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the story in the last one wasn't bad.
It was still crazy. It was still zany.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, seeing like what could only be described as mega-Nazis It's pretty cool. It's like seeing super
zombies.
Yeah,
it's aware of how dopey it is. It, you know, it does a good job of actually adding a little bit of emotion and a decent narrative to
a real sense of humor.
Absurd setup. Yeah.
Did you see the whole trailer?
Yeah.
Right, so it starts off with this, like, it's like Skippy or Lassie, but with a giant robotic Nazi war dog. And then it ends with a guy tripping acid before he runs into a gunfight. It was, I thought it sets the tone perfectly for what those games are.
Yeah, and again, I like the tone, and as I said, I like the game. I just don't love the game, and I can't get super excited about it. Although, oddly, I'm a lot more excited about The Evil Within 2, because even though that game was a bit messy, I mean, that's the closest thing I've ever experienced to, you know, Resident Evil 4 2.
Yeah.
And I was actually a really big fan of Evil Within, and it's a Shinji Mikami game. I'm absolutely on board for that. So that was the kind of the one game I took out of the Bethesda conference where I'm like, all right, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
I can understand that. My enjoyment of the Bethesda conference was a little bit tempered by the fact that I've actually fallen really behind on my Bethesda games.
They make
some of my favourite games, and just because of the way the last 6 to 9 months have gone for me, I haven't really had a chance to sit down and spend the money and then enjoy a game from them the way I normally like to.
But even as a Bethesda fan, which you obviously are, I mean, regardless of the fact that I'm obviously not a massive Bethesda fan, I mean, it was like so much of this conference, it was a completely middle-of-the-road presentation from them. Like, there's no game there which is exciting anyone. I don't think, like, Wolfenstein 2 looks cool, you know, I like the Evil Within 2, blah blah blah, but there was no Fallout, there's no Skyrim 2, any of that. There was no kind of wow moment for anyone.
I think there's no first party Bethesda title. That's the big thing.
Yeah. That's what I mean. There was no, and again, it's what the whole conference has been lacking, that massive moments, and Bethesda didn't have that. I mean, if we're gonna, I'd say that was like a 5, the Bethesda conference. It was okay, but I wasn't super excited.
Okay, well, I mean, there, I don't know. I have a hard time.
You have to give it a mark. I mean, we're giving him marks now for some reason. So.
Well, I mean, I all I could think of was I really need to play Dishonored 2, Prey, and the first Evil Within.
I tried Prey. Oh my god, I did not get on with Prey at all.
No,
at all.
Did you like Deus Ex?
Not particularly. Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, see, and I love Deus Ex, and they seem they share a very similar kind of makeup.
Yeah, shit combat.
What, sorry?
Yeah. Shit combat, yeah. I mean, Prey, don't get me wrong, I heard it gets better, but the sound design was horrible at the start. Every time you fight an enemy, it just gets so loud so quick. I found that infuriating. Oh. I've never found sound design in any game quite as annoying as I found that.
I wouldn't necessarily call that sound design. That seems more like the mix is wrong, as opposed to...
Well, maybe it is the mix, yeah. I'm taking this from a very kind of idiot approach.
Yeah.
The combat, and again, I'm sure it gets better, but at the start, the enemies were boring, those little black blobs, and chasing them around with, like, a wrench.
Yeah.
It was, like, the worst parts of Half-Life. It just felt so awkward, and I was just like, all right, I don't want to play this anymore. It looks nice, and I liked the story.
Yeah.
And I was, like, when I started, and you know, like many Bethesda games, that you do a lot of walking around as the story's unraveling. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. And then as soon as the action started, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to have time in my day for this. So... Yeah, can't be dealing with that, and I haven't played Deus Ex either. So yeah, maybe it's just not my kind of
game.
Yeah,
I'm getting that distinct feeling.
Yeah, maybe is that fucking obvious? maybe I can talk about 20 more minutes about why I don't like Bethesda games. All right, what's up next? I'm completely reliant upon you for order. Is it Ubisoft next?
So I just want to touch on the fact that Devolver Digital had their own press conference. I think it was about 15 minutes long.
That's weird.
They are a small independent publisher. They made games like, or they published games like Luftreisers and Hotline Miami 2.
Great games.
But yeah, I have not seen their press conference because none of their games are ones that especially jump out at me. But you never know, some small, cool indie games might have fallen out of there.
Yeah, I have no idea. And to be honest, I've not read anything about it whatsoever. I wasn't aware it was a thing. I've not heard anything about it since. Mm-hmm. But then, as I said, I feel the exact same way about the PC conference. I didn't know there was a PC conference.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit because I'm not a PC guy.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen fall out of the PC gaming showcase was, for some reason, they are remaking Age of Empires, the first one.
Oh, Yeah, I mean, it's not for
me. I mean, I liked Age of Empires 2, but mm-hmm. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. But
yeah, that sounds bizarre. But anyway, I mean, the next major one, I guess, you know, the ones which are getting press,
yes,
I'm pretty sure was Ubisoft.
It is Ubisoft, yes.
And that was actually, I thought, I mean, in terms of, they always do a good presentation, although they didn't have Aisha Tyler this year.
Yeah, I was really
and
sad.
She's usually been really good.
Yeah.
But again, I thought they did a really good job. I wasn't as excited by some of the games as other people were, but I liked their presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I know a lot of people went crazy for the end of it, to jump straight to the end, about the fact that they had a Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer. But I'm like, really? Like, after all these years, you get a CG trailer, an admittedly cool CG trailer.
It's not even the first one. They have teased.
Yeah, they've had a CG trailer like 7 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And it, you know, they were like, "Oh, you know, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is coming. Here's a CG trailer." And then we had nothing.
It's become,
like 6 years later.
It's become a Ubisoft trope, actually. I'm a big fan of Jim Sterling, and he talks a lot about consumer advocacy. And how Beyond Good and Evil has actually been held to ransom by Ubisoft, which that's a pretty cynical way of looking at it. But
I think that's very cynical, but I think I'm not the biggest fan of his, and I think he's very cynical.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that just because he absolutely tore Brash Games to pieces, by the way, which was totally justified based on what he said.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that. I mean, to be honest, I approach it purely as just another game, if truth be told.
I mean, I loved the first one. I played it on GameCube.
Well, that's the thing. I have no connection with Beyond Good and Evil because I didn't play it on the GameCube, and it was on my kind of shame list, like these games, you know, where you're like, I should play this mm-hmm. game. So I got the, they had a HD version on the 360 and the PS3.
Yeah.
So I got that, and I'm not sure if they updated it since, but I started playing it and I couldn't invert the controls. And I was just like, it doesn't matter if you invert it or not. If you can't do it the way you want to play it, it's like back to, you know, gaming idiocy where I'm just spending the whole time looking at the floor and I completely lost my rag. And I'm not sure if they ever patched it, but I never went back to it.
Yeah.
And at this point now, I feel like I've kind of missed the boat. It's one of those games as well, like, even though I've only played a little bit of it, I get the impression that it probably hasn't aged amazingly well.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of other games that, basically, all the things that made it unique have now kind of been seen in other games.
Yeah, and there's kind of that generation of 3D action games. There are like some games, like,
yeah.
If I take like my favorite games ever, like Resident Evil 4, even if you'd never played it before, I think you could put it in front of anyone today and they would enjoy it. I think it holds up amazingly well. But then another one of my favorite games is Shenmue. But if without any updates, if you put that in front of somebody, it would feel so clunky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Beyond Good and Evil kind of skews more that way, as it were. Mm-hmm. I don't have any attachments, so I'm not super excited. But then equally, I'm just like, well, all you've shown me is like a cool CG trailer, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to work with, so.
I didn't actually see that trailer. Never got to the end of the Ubisoft one, but I am looking forward to seeing it. Obviously, I knew about it. It's been all over.
It's got a cool monkey in it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a CG trailer. It's got a cool monkey. It's got that pig who you see in all the Beyond Good and Evil stuff.
Yeah.
And there's quite a bit of swearing in it. That was probably the bit I can't.
Yeah, there's some very cool kind of anthropomorphic characters in that world. It was a fun game to play.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that game ever comes out. Mario plus Rabbids. I think everyone knew that was coming months ago. I think you said specifically that it's much more your game than it is for me.
Yeah.
So, like, even though I'm a massive Mario fan, it clearly looks a lot more XCOM inspired.
So I heard the phrase Super Mario and Rabbids, and I immediately was like, nah, just keep scrolling. Because neither one of those aspects really interested me. Super Mario without the word cart after it, I'm just not interested. I was really pleasantly surprised to see what this game is. We've spoken about it on this show before, and actually since our last recording, I totally rinsed XCOM 2. But I'm a massive fan. Yeah.
Sorry, my
phone
goes
off.
Sorry about that.
I'm a massive fan of the XCOM series.
Yeah, yeah,
so, yeah. Super Mario with Nintendo will be breathing down Ubisoft's neck on this one.
Oh, because
they do not.
Because this isn't like somebody added like Mario to a game. This is a Mario.
Yeah,
game.
And it's the fact that they've went with their kind of leading star as well. I'm really surprised to see this. So,
well, I think they just need, they know they need the third party support. And in fairness to Ubisoft, they've been one of their, you know,
yeah, one of their biggest supporters.
Most loyal supporters, yeah, over the past few
years.
Yeah,
Just Dance is,
like, if anyone's going to do it, they're going to do it with Ubisoft for sure.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that higher level of polish, which is something that unfortunately the XCOM games have always been missing.
Yeah, totally.
Plus, it's going to be fun. Like, I'll get to actually
play
in that environment, and the Rabbids are basically like proto minions, I guess. But you know, it'll be charming and it'll be fun. So I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, as I said, I mean, it's cool that they're getting third party support on the Switch, which I'm sure like a year from now will be hugely increased, because essentially the Switch has turned into a big hit.
Yeah.
Everybody has suddenly looked at themselves going, fuck, we need to get games on this thing. Yeah. But that takes time.
Yeah, it does.
Everyone was obviously sitting on it, waiting to see, all right, you know, after the Wii U, and it was like a new interesting concept. It was like, is this going to take off? It has. So I expect to see a lot more third-party support kind of this time next year. But yeah, obviously there's only so much people can do, you know, because let's be honest, the Nintendo Switch was still released only a few months ago, and it was only a confirmed hit, you know, not that long ago. So... that's going to take time. So I'm not surprised that there's not a huge amount of third-party support there at the moment. But, you know, this looks kind of cool, and it keeps their little run at the moment of a major game coming out every month, which is so important to Nintendo at the moment.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
The other ones, the Crew 2, I mean, that looks cool. I was a little bit burnt on the last Crew because I was really excited, and then it kind of looked a bit shit, and the handling, like, it's okay, but it's not in the same league as you kind of Need for Speed.
Yeah.
I like the fact that, you know, you can go on water and fly and all that jazz, but... immediately with all that, I'm like, have they bitten off a bit more than they can chew again?
Yeah, I think that will be the case.
I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, I mean, to have all those different modes of transport, unless you have a team that is like 80% like programmers just working on game mechanics, I just cannot see how that game is going to turn out in a competitive way.
The mechanics will probably be okay, but it's like, as I said, with the world, you know, you had the whole of America, that's great, but because there was so much of it, it invariably became a little bit bland, and the visuals took a hit, and in the moment to moment, you couldn't shift away from the fact that it's like, all right, compared to Forza Horizon, compared to Need for Speed, which I know are a lot smaller, but they just look so much better. So much, and both of them control better as well by quite a bit. So, I'm very much on the... because I played a fair bit of the Crew in fairness, I did get bored in the end, and there's no part of me which is screaming out for a Crew 2, but, you know, we'll see.
The way I describe my reaction to Crew 2 was that while I wouldn't... like, while it looks to have some cool features, I wouldn't really want to play it. It's a little bit like Steep in that regard, the snowboarding game that they made.
I quite like Steep.
Yeah, but do you enjoy the mechanics or do you just enjoy being in the game?
No, I quite enjoyed the mechanics. The thing is, Steep, I would actually, is very similar almost to the Crew in that they're both very decent games. And Steep, a big part of it was just the fact that I hadn't played a snowboarding game for years and years. But both of them, I ran out of puff. It was like, all right, I really enjoyed it in little spurts, but then there was so much of it, but because it all felt a little bit samey after a while. There was tons and tons of content in both games, but after a while, you know, you just kind of, with some games, it's not like I suddenly woke up and hated Steve or hated the Crew. Yeah. I was just like, I just don't want to play this anymore. I've had my fill.
Yeah.
And that was the same with both of them. They're just, you know, solid games. And there was a DLC for... Steep announced actually for the Olympics or something, but again, it's like I played it for maybe 10-15 hours max, and I was like, all right, I'm totally done with this. I don't need to play this anymore. What were the other ones? Starlink, I mean, it's a Toys for Life thing, looks kind of cool, not interested. South Park, I know there was like a mobile game and stuff like that, but I've got to the point now with any South Park stuff where I'm like, I just want to play the game.
Yep.
I've had a titsful. It's gone too long. I love South Park. I love the last game, but I'm done. I don't care about your videos. I'm just going
to
play it.
That's exactly what my notes say. It just says South Park needs to come the fuck out already.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It just needs to come the fuck out. And a mobile game's not going to change my mind on that. I'm just like, just release the fucking game, and I'll play it, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it. The last one was, I guess the big one was Skull and Bones, which was quite an interesting one, I thought, because obviously it had a very Black Flag feel.
It's not just a Black Flag feel. That is, I can tell you from someone who's worked in game development, that...
It's Black Flag gameplay.
That is Black Flag. Like, they've taken the source code and adapted it.
Yeah, because like right down to when you're shooting the cannons, it's got those white lines, and that is exactly the same as Black Flag.
And even like even the mortar, you know, you get the little disc that floats out to mark where your mortar's going to fall, like everything.
In fairness, though, everybody loved that about Black Flag. Absolutely. They've obviously taken it, and they're like, all right, let's do a polished version of it, like a really polished version of this. Like, I think people will take to it.
My notes are basically a stream of consciousness that I recorded over lunch so that I would have something to say here. But yeah, I thought maybe it'll be a less cartoony Sea of Thieves at first, but then the more I played it, the more I realised, yeah, you don't get off that boat.
No, there's no getting off
and,
that boat.
And Black Flag's naval battles were probably my favourite bits of Black Flag. It's just a smart use of pre-existing assets. They've just taken content.
It's just I loved the naval battles in Black Flag, and they were my favorite part of the game. But they were my favorite part of a larger game. Yeah. And I just wonder, would I still be like? It was great to look forward to naval battles, but the idea was that you played them for a bit, but then you went into your Assassin's Creed stuff, and it's just like, will I enjoy it if it's just that? Like, will it be enough, like, say, to play that for, like, say, 10 hours? I'm like, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. The multiplayer element is not the selling factor that I think... Like, it's not, for me, the selling factor that they're looking for.
Exactly the same as you. Yeah, but then, I don't know, man. Ubisoft have had so much luck with this kind of game recently, like, you know, Rainbow Six and For Honor. For Honor, for instance, a game which I've not played because similar thing, I'm not really fussed on the whole online thing, but those games just have fucking legs. People, like, I think, crazy stat, and this game isn't related other than the fact that it's by Ubisoft, but the two biggest selling games of the year are For Honor and Ghost Recon.
Huh.
Isn't that mad?
That is mad.
They've both been absolute behemoths. Ghost Recon in particular, I reviewed that, I liked it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But fuck me, like, it's not that good.
They can throw a lot of money.
It's a bit derivative.
They can throw a lot of money behind marketing these games.
Yeah, yeah, obviously so. But I had no idea, like, it's in the same way. Too Human is very much the kind of Rainbow Six of 2017 in that it kind of came out, everyone was just like, oh, this is fine. But they've just kept supporting those games. And it's bizarre because usually you think a game comes out, there's a big explosion, and slowly the crowd dwindles away to like a hardcore. Yeah. But you have these two random games which just keep getting bigger. Like Rainbow Six keeps getting fucking bigger. It's bizarre. And that's actually a really good game. But anyway, I digress.
We've spoken about that one here before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Ubisoft, I thought that was probably, in terms of how they presented it and the actual games... I thought it was really good. I like set 8.
Yeah, I'd go with 8. They get major points for pulling Miyamoto out on stage right at the start. That's a baller move there.
Yeah, that's always pretty sweet. All right, we're running out of time here, so we have to shoot along to Sony next. Okay. Sony.
I did not see the Sony press conference, so
I'm just gonna.
You could tell me that they've decided to cancel the Final Fantasy VII remake, and I can figure that how I feel about that on the fly.
I mean, it's just the same old bullshit. Like, that's the thing with Sony in the past. They've announced games too far out. You know, everyone goes, gets super... You know, I should have been as excited as anyone for, like, Shenmue 3. You know, if I could pick any game to get made, it'd be that. And everyone loves Final Fantasy VII and the remake. But everyone knew, come on now, those games weren't coming out for fucking years. And this year is the first year where some of those games are finally caught up in so much that, you know, there was a lot on God of War and Spider-Man. But again, I would argue that there was no wow moment here. Don't get me wrong, God of War looks great. Spider-Man, the stuff from that looked amazing.
Yeah, that was what people in the office have been talking about this morning, was how good Spider-Man looks.
Spider-Man looks fucking baller. The big shocks, I guess, for me were probably the Shadow of Colossus remake.
Who is asking for that?
It's a strange one, isn't it? I would have never guessed in a million years.
They did an HD remake, what, PS3 generation?
Yeah, it was basic. It was still the same game. I mean, this looks, don't get me wrong, this looks gorgeous. The only thing is, will they update the controls? And if they do, will it break the game? Because that's the problem with, like, you go back to Shadow of the Colossus, it's still artistically an absolutely stunning game. I love the mood. But then you get on that fucking horse, and it's horrible. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, if you remake this game for PS4 with new visuals, surely you have to have a new control scheme. But then it's like, does that affect the gameplay? You know, the balance of the game, as it were. Yeah. So again, I agree with you. Like, I love Shadow of the Colossus. It looks great, but I'm like, am I really that excited about it? Do I need to play this game again? I don't know.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but fuck. I mean,
what,
is it the original studio that's taking care of it? Or, I mean, because that'll be them not making
it. Yeah, I'm sure it came up as... Yeah, no, I'm sure it's the team, because it did say Studio Japan, but I think it's by the team who actually did the HD reboots for PS3.
Okay.
So, sure. Fucking was there. But that came out, that was kind of surprised. Monster Hunter World, which isn't seen the exclusives, I think it's coming out on the Xbox as well.
Oh.
That kind of looks more like...
I've always associated them with Nintendo, so...
Well, it is... The mainline games are still exclusive to the Nintendo.
Right, okay.
This is like an offshoot, but it has like an open world, so it doesn't have like the designated areas and stuff.
Okay.
It looks nice. It's still going to be one of those games where I know I'll get it, I'll play it for a little bit and go, oh, this is kind of good, and be like, I don't have the fucking time for this game. I don't have the time or the patience. And the same is very much true of GT Sport. They released a very pretty trailer. They're always really nice. Gran Turismo's, like, unlike Forza's, the trailers always seem to have more character. But then when you play Gran Turismo games, the actual games themselves are almost devoid of character.
Yeah,
and I know it's one of those ones. Yeah, it'll look pretty... And again, I'll probably buy it. I'll have a moment of weakness. I'll buy it. I'll play it for a few hours and be like, this still isn't for me, unsurprisingly.
The last Gran Turismo game I remember playing was Gran Turismo 2 on the PlayStation.
Yeah, well, I played Gran Turismo 5, I think was the last one I played, but I didn't play much of it. But yeah, there were other games. Detroit Become Human, David Cage. I mean, it's always interesting, but I mean... Again, I was watching it. I can't get excited about his games. I really can't. I wish I could, but...
I like the concept. It kind of...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems that kind of dystopian future kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like AI kind of... You know, it sounded like the plot of... what was that Channel 4 show? Robots? No, it's not called Robots.
My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding.
No, it definitely wasn't that one. The one with the fucking AI where they all kind of start revolting and... Human. Is it called Human? I don't know, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's like a fucking Channel 4 show.
Okay.
But yeah, that game...
I'm in Sweden. Kind of the only TV we get is like gritty murder mysteries.
Oh, of course, they do love those in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah, Detroit Become Human. It'll probably be fine. I can't get excited about it. I think their biggest victory was just basically wrapping up all the major third-party support, like getting FIFA, Call of Duty, Destiny. You can't underestimate just how, or overestimate as it were, just how important it is to get those. Because
I'll be honest, I just thought you said undress me, like you were trying to do some subliminal...
Undress me, just undress me, for God's sake, Ross. I don't care if on a podcast. Undress me with your eyes, for heaven's sake. I just want to feel wanted, for heaven's sake. But yeah, Days Gone was probably the other big release, big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
But again, remember when we were talking earlier about Anthem, about the fact that it looks, it's derivative of other games, but it looks unbelievable and I don't care.
Yeah.
Days Gone looks derivative, but in that way that it doesn't look quite as good as the games it's derivative of.
Right, okay.
Like, it looks a little bit like Last of Us, but it doesn't look as good. It has open world sections, but, you know, it's just not as slick as maybe Far Cry or something. Like, it looked fine, and the amount of zombies on screen was cool, but again, it didn't wow me.
Yeah.
It looks like the kind of game I'd probably end up playing, but it didn't have that wow moment. And as I said, you know, some of the biggest announcements were DLC. Like, the DLC for Uncharted... and Horizon both look fantastic, but they're four very known, very, you know, already experienced products.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that was what Sony was lacking in, was that wow moment. It was just a lot of, you know, decent looking stuff, but there were no surprises as far as I was concerned. So 6-7 for Sony as well. I thought, you know, Like, the conference was pretty slick, but nothing too exciting.
Okay.
The last one, and I know we're tearing through this now, but we have been rattling on a bit, was Nintendo. And we've literally just seen this, or Ross hasn't seen any of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go through all of the details. All I'll say is that in this fucking presentation, they make their Kyoto office look so much more charming than it actually is.
Yeah, it's just a grey block. Like, I'm pretty
it's
sure...
It's just a white block.
I'm pretty sure it's based on the original NES.
Oh, dude, like, don't get me wrong, they don't try and sugarcoat that in the video. It is just a white block. But they have all green around it, and they've got solar panels down the bottom. When you get there, Kyoto is one of the prettiest cities in the world, except for the specific sections area where the fucking Nintendo office is. It is an industrial estate.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's fuck all there except for this white building. And Bethan, obviously, I was all excited because it was like a pilgrimage to go see Nintendo in Kyoto.
Yeah.
Bethan was like, I cannot fucking believe you've dragged me to this box of a building. So yeah, they did a pretty good job of prettying that up. But I literally, as we were talking, I just wanted to make sure we hadn't missed anything, because I mentioned that the two most exciting announcements were literally just announcements.
Yeah.
They announced the head of the Pokemon studio announced that they are making a fully fledged Pokemon game for Switch, but that'll be out in like a year, and that was it. They didn't give a title, they didn't show you like a little screen, it was just the dude saying that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the game that you guys have been waiting for though, right? You Pokemon
fans. if you're a Pokemon fan, then yeah, totally, you want a home console version of it. And it was inevitably going to happen, but you know, it's cool that it's coming. The one I was really excited for, the one I was really home for, is Metroid Prime. And in fairness, they announced Metroid Prime 4. Literally, all you got was a sign saying Metroid Prime 4. That's kind of enough for me.
Yeah.
That almost makes it game of the show just because they're actually making Metroid Prime 4. And Metroid Prime is one of my favorite game series ever. But I just checked, and they've announced there's a new Metroid Prime game, Samus Returns, coming to the 3DS of all things. So just like they did on the GameCube, where they had like a simultaneous, I'm not sure if you remember, there was like a simultaneous launch of Metroid Prime on the GameCube and Metroid Zero Suit, I think it was, on the Game Boy Advance.
I'm afraid it's a series that's never really clicked with me, so I don't really remember much of the Metroid.
Well, anyway, they did that years and years ago, obviously. And it looks like maybe, because obviously we started the podcast before the conference finished. Mm-hmm. But it'd be interesting if they did that again. But I assume, realistically, Metroid Prime 4 is going to be a long way out still. Whereas Metroid Samus Returns has got to be pretty soon, because I don't know how much longer they can keep dragging the 3DS out. So I suspect that'll be soon. But that's very cool that we've got two Metroid games coming.
Yeah.
There was a Kirby game, a Yoshi game. They looked exactly as you'd expect. Xenoblade 2, I can't be excited about that anymore. I was excited about both the last Xenoblade games. But again, we talked about other games in a similar kind of vein where I started playing it. I play it for like 8 hours and I just run out of puff because they're such big games.
Yeah.
And I never really get involved in the story. I like the look and the aesthetic.
I just can't take that much J in my JRPG. It's just too
there
much.
There is a hell of a lot of fucking J when it comes to Monolith Studios.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was all stuff you've already seen. I mean, they've already announced Pokken Fighter DX. Which I really liked. I played that. I've got that on the Wii U.
Uh-huh.
It's a good game. I'm sure it'll work well on the go. Rocket League is a fucking perfect fit for the Switch.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played it before, yeah, but it could not be a more perfect fit. And what was the other big one? I think that was it. Like Zelda DLC. They did that. It was a pretty solid conference, what I saw of it. I mean, you know, you got Metroid Prime and it's all the games you expect. But again, was there anything... like, Metroid Prime 4 would have been that shocking moment if they had had any Metroid Prime gameplay, you know?
Yeah.
But because it wasn't there, it's hard to really give them a pass when they've just showed you a title. Obviously, Mario Odyssey looks absolutely phenomenal. Ross disagrees, obviously. It looks fucking bonkers. I don't know what's going on with that shit with the dinosaur. And the moment when he takes control of a human, I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But I'm sure it'll be fantastic. But again, I would argue lacking that wow moment. So, to sum up...
just that sound. I'm just going to cut it there.
Yeah, just
sum up.
Yeah. I mean, you agree, though, yeah? Just like it was okay.
I don't know. Sony, like, I've still got the end of Ubisoft, and I've got Sony to watch. It's possible that there might be something.
I'd be surprised if, as I said, based on what I've told you and your responses, you know, to Shadow of Colossus, like, who the fuck wants to play that again?
Yeah, but Spider-Man, Spider-Man is my favourite superhero, and to be honest, although I don't own a PS4, I might get excited by that.
Well, I even like the suit. Everyone's ragging on the suit. I quite like the suit. Dude, you need to watch that. That game looks amazing. I mean, if I was going to do top three games of the show, it would be Anthem, Spider-Man, and just by default, it'd probably be Mario Odyssey, just because I love Mario. But that's more for the lack of other options. Like, nothing else. Like, the top two are really that far ahead. I'm sure if I played Mario, it'd be different. But in terms of, like, because I'd seen it already, you know, it'd already been announced, it was never going to have that impact.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, genuinely exciting moments, like Anthem and Spider-Man, even though, again, we knew about Spider-Man, but seeing the gameplay and stuff, it just looks so awesome. But, yeah, E3 2017, I don't think it's going to live all that long in the memory, if truth be told.
Well, that's a shame. But to be honest, we've had a good year so far for games. So
yeah, totally.
Long may it continue.
The only good thing I will say is that a lot of the games announced will be coming out this year. It's a shame Spider-Man and God of War, I think, are both coming out in 2018. So I'm not sure what Sony are going to have for the end of the year. But
people gobble up Uncharted DLC like nothing.
Yeah. Like they probably don't have that big game, but at the moment they don't need it because they've got all the third-party support.
Yeah.
And the console's going gangbusters. Unless, as I said, I really thought this was Microsoft's chance if they had that killer app.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they've got it. I don't think they got it. Unless these games really do look that much better than they do on the Pro, but I don't think that's going to be the case. So, who knows? But, yeah, E3 2017, a big meh, 7 out of 10-ish, maybe 6. I don't know, from the two of us. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Yeah, I take you agree.
To some extent. So far, I would say it's a 7. Like, no one's come to the show without any good games to show.
Yeah. Like, it's all been good. There's just been nothing jaw-dropping.
Put it this way, I'm even excited for a Nintendo-branded product, even though it's coming from Ubisoft.
It's crazy. And I'm excited for a lot of the stuff coming soon. Like, I'm excited about ARMS. I'm looking forward to playing Splatoon again. You know, Mario's coming at the end of the year. That's inevitably going to be amazing. There's no way that's not going to be amazing.
Much like Dr. Mario.
You know, the Microsoft conference, it was full of very solid games, all coming out relatively soon.
Yeah.
I just, as I said, it just lacked the wow. But that's it for another year of E3, I suppose. Hopefully, with us returning to the world of podcasting, you having somewhere to work from in Sweden.
Yeah, I'm just going to barricade the doors in here and I'll be able to record from in
here. Yeah, just don't let them in. I mean, I hope you brought a lot of food with you, but I'm sure we'll be able to work from here. But hopefully we can get back to doing podcasts on a regular basis.
Yes.
We can answer those questions if you have any. If not, we'll just get on business as usual.
Yes.
Next week, be loads of movie talk. There's loads of movies I want to talk about, but we're not going to do that now. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of games. Actually, talk about the games we've been playing rather than E3 shit.
I have got such a list.
I've got quite a list as well. I'm quite looking forward to this because we haven't spoken for ages. So yeah, tune in next week. If you tuned in this far, you should definitely tune in next week because it'll be fun.
It'll be a bit more business as usual, but very much that also means fun.
yeah, I think it means fun. There'll be a lot more of us going off the rails, but that's just part and parcel of the show.
This has been surprisingly well structured.
Yes, by our standards. I mean, if this is the first one you've listened to, our usual podcasts are fucking nothing like this, just to be abundantly clear. And this wasn't even that structured. I mean, we went back and forth between Microsoft and EA about 4 times, but fuck it, never mind. So if you listen this far, please check us out on Facebook. We're just on Brashcast. Obviously, check out the website, brashgames.co.uk. Anything else, Ross, before we do one?
No, I think that's it. Just thank you for listening.
Fantastic. Yeah, cheers. And please join us next week. Hopefully we'll be back next week. Thanks, bye.
Bye.